Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. When it comes to something as important and as special as your Walt Disney World or Disneyland or even a Disney Cruise Line vacation, you need to trust that to the experts. And they are experts over at the Magic for Less. They travel to the Disney destinations multiple times each year and are trained by Disney to help you have the most magical experience possible. As you're going to hear in today's episode, there are so many great things happening down at Walt Disney World this summer. It's a great time to escape down there. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is drop by themagicforless.com today, fill out that free, no obligation quote, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast, and an agent will get back to you right away, get you in the best special possible to save you the most amount of money, but most importantly, help you plan the most magical vacation ever. Check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1038 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. It's been a short work week here in the United States. Of course, it's been a zero-day work week for me here being a school teacher. But hey, if you want to give me some grief, school starts in less than a month for us here in the Midwest. It's sick. I know. I'm already counting down to going back to school. What's up with that? It's terrible. But today I'm going to have some fun reliving my recent vacation down to Walt Disney World, also sailing on the Disney cruise. And we're going to talk about this over the next few weeks because there was I was down there, almost took up residency in Florida. So there's a lot to talk about, but I'm going to hit about my top five things from this trip that we could take away from. Maybe it'll make your next vacation better. It's definitely stuff to think about. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Also, I wanted to throw this out there. Our host, not our sponsors, but our host where we upload our podcast to, called podbean.com. I was a guest on their first Podcasting Smarter episode or podcast that they have. It's all about podcasting. And I know a lot of our audience are fellow podcasters and are very interested in the podcasting platform. So if you want to check that out, do go ahead and check that out. It's at podcast.podbean.com. Kind of fun talking podcasting, talking a little behind the scenes of the Be Our Guest podcast. But anyway, we're here to talk Disney. We're going to have a good time. Joining me today from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Okay, so I just want to tell you guys that I am dreaming. Okay, I guess I should say fantasizing. Ooh, there we go.
Yes.
Because 1 year from today, we are getting on the Disney Fantasy, and I'm so flipping excited. Yay!
That is correct. Yes, we are 365 days till the
365.
Best cruise that ever sailed. This is going to be amazing. I mean, we're going to have better ports this time. We're going to have lots of adventures in each of the ports, group excursions. I'm talking about an amazing race in Cozumel. Some people just want to go to Paradise Beach. Who cares? We're going to have a great time. And it's going to be so fun 1 year from today. Good stuff, Ricky.
Oh my gosh, you've been talking about your cruise and it's getting me so pumped for ours next year. So 1 year from today, and if you guys want to see all the fun that we have on the cruise, go check out the Be Our Guest podcast, .com, then scroll down a little bit and you'll be able to see the video that I made about the cruise from last time. And you can also book, hint, hint, if you'd like to join us. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, okay. I hope everybody at least gets a quote. I mean, it, you know, it's definitely not a Carnival cruise. It's a very fun experience. I mean, it does cost a little bit, but it's worth it. I mean, the value's there. It is expensive, but again, we talk about, you know, price versus value. I never walk off a Disney cruise saying I didn't get a good value. It was a lot of fun. So join us.
Nope. It's going to be awesome.
All right. Yeah. Well, man. So tomorrow we're under a year. Man, I love that.
That's right.
Oh, man. That's good. That's the best news I've heard in a long time.
I'm so excited.
That's good news because, you know, I'm going back to school here in a month. And, hey, at least I can say we're cruising within a year. So not bad. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, who was also down at Walt Disney World same time I was, both celebrating anniversaries. What's up, Pam Forrester?
I know, it's crazy, right? And I love that you brought up value. That is my favorite word of all times because I feel like that's really what we built our travel agency on, helping people find the best value, which again, doesn't always translate into the least expensive. But I think when you're looking at the money that you're spending and what you're spending on, does it make sense to spend it here or not there or whatever? I think that there's lots of room there for debate and to help people find what works best for them. But I love the word value because I just think that it's like, especially when you're talking about Disney Cruise Line in particular, because I think there are so many things that Disney Cruise Line does so well that you just cannot put a price tag on. I mean, it's just not, you know, you can't look at this and say, well, this is worth $100 or this is worth $500 or whatever. So anyways, love that concept and, you know, love talking about when you're looking at the vacation budget, how to fit the most value into that, because I think that's important too. So
I agree. It's gonna, yeah, definitely think value. And you really kind of taught me that over the years because I was more of like a price person. But you got to look about, you know, are you missing out on things because you're always looking for the lowest price? You're not getting the best experience for the dollar. And I think that's something to always think about, especially with travel.
For sure.
Because you want to make sure. I mean, it's like the difference between a value and a moderate, especially back in the day, like when you got a refrigerator, you didn't at the values. You know, you're talking about, you know, better theme. And there's so many things to think about. We've talked about it over the years here on the show, but we'll always kind of beat that drum because, you know, not the cheapest isn't always the best experience.
No, it's not. And like, and when you break it down into people are like, well, I'm saving money with this. Yeah, you are, but you're missing it with that. I think for me, when people talk about staying offsite, I want to first of all plug my ears and be like, la, 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 because I don't like that. But I think that that's what, when you're looking at that too, when you have like onsite benefits like extra magic hour and things like that, those are critical, I think, to a vacation. And especially now when we're talking about making Fast Pass Plus 60 days in advance versus 30, stuff like that for the person that, you know, doesn't go to Disney often, I think those can be huge in terms of that space. So anyways, you know, lots of things to think about with your vacation dollars. But anyway, I'm so looking forward to our cruise because the value there for me in cruising with this group has been cruising with a group makes my cruise worth way more.
Oh, yeah.
And just have so much more fun because I get to cruise with the people I care about. So that's awesome. And then people I'm going to care about. So
absolutely.
Right. You get to sail with old friends and make new friends on these podcast cruises. So we really hope you'll consider joining us. It's so much fun in those that are already booked. Man, I can't wait to sail with you guys again because that's what I was sailing, talking about the whole time we sailed on the Dream this trip. And we did get to sail. We actually vacationed almost the whole time with our great friends, the Gardeners, Scott, Elizabeth, and Emily up in Michigan. And they're just dear friends. And it made the vacation from start to finish the best it could be. I mean, it's so much fun to be at Disney, but with friends and especially cruising. And actually, occasionally it gets you in more trouble than you need to get into when you're cruising with friends. So some of that might be left out of the show. I'm just saying. Scott knows, but yeah.
I think I know, too.
Let's just say the guy behind the bar knew us a little. Well, we'll just forget that. Because I don't drink that much. I only drink when I go on a cruise, and it gets me in trouble. That's why. But anyway, I don't have any tolerance. But anyway, let's talk about the trip. We flew down. We were there June 13th through June 28th. We went earlier this year because our APs expire back on July 3rd, so we want to squeeze in that bonus trip, as you call it, you know, if you can go two summers within one AP. So we did that, flew down, no problem. Those people looking in the Facebook live stream, my cool souvenir. Do you guys see this? That's right. Do you see it, Ricky? Can you see what I have?
No. Sorry.
You can't, you're not watching?
I am not, no.
Well, too bad. I have a Southwest Airlines diecast jet.
Nice.
So, yes, I'm the pilot of my destiny here. Anyway, So it's sitting here in the studio. I'm very proud of that. But anyway, so getting to the Disney stuff, we stayed at Coronado Springs for the first part of our trip, and we did something. We're always looking for something new to do. And this time we stayed business class at Coronado Springs. Now, Pam, have you ever stayed business class over at Coronado?
I am not at Coronado, no. But I have toured the rooms and seen even the suites at Coronado. I think that that's something that most people don't know about, is that Coronado actually has suites as well as a business class. So anyways, done that, but I have not stayed business class. So what did you think?
I thought it was awesome. Now, our good friends Dean and Becca and Eli from the podcast family, from way back from the beginning of the show, we've been friends for years. They met us. We had a good meal at Maya Grill towards the end of our trip, but they got upgraded upon arrival to a big suite at Coronado Springs. They were staying there. They were just going to have a standard room, but they got a suite. So we'll have to get in touch with them and hear about them over on the Fit Mouse podcast that Becca does with Marcy. Maybe they'll talk about that, but they got a cool upgrade to a suite. We just had a regular room in the business class, but what this gets you, a couple things that, and it wasn't very much more than a regular room, hardly at all. And the thing is, it gets you location. So if you know Coronado Springs, you look at the layout, it's a moderate resort and it's built around a big lake, a big body of water, like a lagoon. I forget what they call it there. I don't even know. It's just a big body of water, but it's kind of different there. It's kind of like Riverside in the fact that the main feature pool is kind of set back and away from the main building. So you have kind of the main building, you got a big lake, you got some three areas, the casitas, the cabanas, and the ranchos around this big body of water with some bridges connecting everything. But we were in building 9B, which is the most prime building to be in at Coronado Springs. You're closest to the main building. You just gotta go straight across the bridge. You're at the dig site pool, which is one of the best pool areas on property, I think, especially out of the, if you take the deluxes out of the picture, it definitely is, because they have a bar that has like hot foods, appetizers. I had empanadas there one day with a margarita poolside. Ooh, good stuff. But you got a great location, and we were facing the lake, so it was very, very nice. But we had a corner room, so we had, we had a view of the lake and the side. And transportation, no kidding, I think it was like 83 steps from our room. I think I counted it one time because we were that close. So great transportation, great location to the main building, great to the feature pool because that's where we always spent our time. And what you get in the business class, you get access to the business class lounge. Now, this isn't open. It's kind of like a concierge lounge, but it's not open all day. It's open from 7 to 10 in the morning and 5 to 10 in the evening. So 7 to 10 in the morning, 5 to 10 in the evenings. We took advantage of this every morning to get a light breakfast. And they had things like donuts, croissants. They had those little like one serving cereal boxes, all kinds of milk, fresh fruit, fresh juice, bagels, espresso machines, different kinds of coffees. It wasn't very much more. And when you figure four of us were having breakfast there every morning, Pam, this is where you get back to value. I spent a little more for that room, but by four of us eating breakfast before we left the hotel room, we were set to lunch. I mean, we came out ahead on this, and we had a better location to boot.
I think that that's one of the bonuses of any concierge stay, is that in particular, you can always find enough for breakfast there. And I think the fact that it's there in the lounge makes it really easy and convenient. One of you can go down and go ahead and, get it for the rest of your family. Or if you all happen to be ready on your way out, you can go out and grab it. And I think that's a huge bonus when you talk about, should I try concierge? Whatever. Now, when you stay at the concierge at the deluxe resorts, of course, that lounge is open more often and it has other things available that Coronado doesn't. So those are things that you can factor in as well. But I think, again, there is value in staying at a concierge stay. And depending on the type of stay that you're going to be experiencing, this could really work for you and your family.
Yeah, it really worked very nice for us. We had, when you were there in the evenings, we were only there for one evening again, because 5 to 10 is kind of rough if you're going to be in the parks. That's prime park time for us, because we come back in the mid-afternoon, take a break, and head back out about 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock and have dinner and, spend the evenings in the parks. We were just there one night in the evenings, but they had beer, wine. They had homemade chocolate chip cookies. I tweeted out a picture. Oh, those things were so good. I'm glad we weren't there that much, because I'd have gained, 20 pounds on those cookies. They were, because, it's like, you feel it's a splurge, man. You've already paid for them. Grab them.
So, that's right.
Oh my gosh. I'll put some pictures on the Facebook page of the concierge lounge, but it's really nice. The rooms at Coronado are really nice. I mean, I really can't recommend Coronado enough. I know folks, again, talk about the business people there. They didn't bother me. I saw some people in suits. They were at a convention.
And you laughed at them.
Yeah, who cares? I was on vacation. Exactly.
You're like, oh,
yeah. Too bad.
Too bad for you.
So, you know, we're going to run through this kind of quickly. Just some highlights. Again, I can dive into all this stuff over the next few months. But we met. I really built up meeting Chewie and Kylo Ren to my family. Because remember, I was down there in April for the press event and was so impressed with, like, Kylo Ren getting up in my grill and, like, being aggressive toward me. And, like, you know, you've seen the map. I'm like, I haven't seen the map. You have seen the map. You're going to join us. I'm like, whatever, guy. So I was like, you know, I'm telling Mallory, you know, don't be scared. You know, he's just a, you know, he's really Kylo Ren, but he's not allowed to kill you. You know, and you're already halfway to the dark side anyway, Mallory, so it's all good. And so I'm like, you know, Chewbacca's friendly. He's going to, you know, hug us and all. We went in, and neither one of those two things, Kylo Ren or Chewbacca, neither one made a sound. Like, Kylo Ren didn't talk, and Chewbacca did not make the Wookiee sound the whole time we got our pictures taken. Ricky, have you heard of that? Like, it was. Now, we went back later after the cruise, and they played it all up, both of them. But what's up? I mean, is there, like, a silent day or something? Was it, like, a protest? Maybe I missed it. I don't know. Maybe Ricky's not here. But Pam... She's giving me the silent treatment, apparently. Everybody just gives me the silent treatment. That's exactly what it was like, audience. That's exactly what it was like. Yeah, it was awkward.
Ricky's doing the demonstration for us.
Exactly. I was totally going for it.
I was like, Kylo Ren, are you there? Like, on his mask. No, it was the weirdest thing.
All right. Yeah. No, maybe they have, like, an off mode. Like, if...
kind of like us today.
Flick the switch.
Yeah, exactly. No one flipped the switch.
So. You know where it is? It's on their back.
It was weird.
Like 3/4 the way up their back.
It was so weird.
False information. If people are gonna be like reaching for the switch, like
Andy's home. No, just kidding. We don't. So anyway, we gotta rush through some of this stuff. So. One of the other new things I did, now there's two new things that I tried with Amazon, thanks to Pam. Pam's always been the cheerleader for Amazon Prime. So I joined that because I've been ordering more and more stuff through Amazon, getting, I guess, lazier and lazier, would not want to go to the store. No problem with that.
Are you saying about me?
No,
wow,
no.
You just called Pam lazy. No. I heard it.
Awesome.
It is awesome. Yes. I'm telling you, man. So here's the ultimate awesome. So we used Amazon Pantry to get, now we kind of messed up because we got all these groceries delivered to our room because when we go on these long vacations over the summer, remember, this is the first summer that we didn't drive. When we go for 2 weeks, we'd always take the trailer. And so we'd pack, you know, the cupboard at the house. We'd have so many groceries and so many things. So we were always like set with cereals and, you know, Rice Krispie treats and Pop-Tarts and Cheez-Its and the canned cheese you spray out, the aerosol cheese. We had everything at night, sodas, you know, everything we wanted in the room. So I was like, well, we're flying this year, so we're kind of, you know, we can't do that. So I did some research. I joined Amazon Prime, and we used the Amazon Pantry, which lets you, what you do is you go on. You have to be a Prime member, but you pick all the, they don't have every grocery. They have a, you know, pretty good supply of groceries. And we loaded up with, like, cereal, all the stuff we would normally have. And it goes by how much you fill the box, and each box ships for, like, $5. So we had that shipped to the resort. No problem, but we did one better. We used something called Amazon Prime Now. Now, Pam, have you heard of that?
I have, and it's only available in certain areas of the country. I'm really hoping it comes to the Cranberry Township location.
But it is.
Because I think that we would really benefit from this.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's in Orlando, and it's delivery in 2 hours. I mean, 2 hours you can schedule your delivery, so... I went on, ordered some stuff again. Like, I ordered cases of soda for us. Like, I drink Coke Zero, Pam drinks Diet Pepsi. A couple other things we didn't get on the pantry, and because I just wanted to try it out because they just recently started delivering to the Walt Disney World Resorts, and bam, it was right there in the business center at Coronado Springs. Actually, one of them came to the luggage services and one went to the business center, but both of them do work successfully. So if you're flying down and you're looking to have, you know, say you don't want to have to walk to the food court every night after you get back from the parks. You want to buy a case of Coke Zero or, you know, whatever your favorite drink is, root beer, and have 12 sodas cool in your fridge. You can order from Prime Now, and the prices are not bad. I mean, it was not bad at all. So, you know, if you want to get some Cheez-Its and have snacks in the room, that's a way maybe you could save just a little bit of money. Go ahead, Ricky.
I have one question. So I heard, and I don't remember where it was. It was probably another podcast, but I heard that because Coronado has a business center, you said that one time it went to the business center, one time it went to the regular Bell Services. Did you have to pay a fee when it went to the business center? Because I heard that for the convention hotels, if it goes to the business center, you have to pay a fee.
That's right. I did have to pay $5 at the business center. Okay. I totally forgot about that. But not at the Bell Services.
No, because I thought I heard about it on another podcast and I don't remember which one it was. So I was like, you know what? I better ask the question since you actually had, experience with it. So
no, that is the, yeah. I totally forgot about that. I did have to I just charged it to the room. But yeah. And I don't know why one
now, could
went
you
one
specify
place, one the
where it went or
no, because I just put the address of the resort in the ship to field. So I don't maybe it happened during business hours. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, it was well worth even the $5 extra. It was nice to have that. 2 hours. You could literally land, before you get on Magical Express, put in an order and it'll be there. Almost the same time you get there. It's that fast. So, and you can pick a delivery window, so you can do it days ahead of time and say, I want it delivered on Thursday between 4 and 6, and boom, it'll be there. It's crazy.
Awesome.
So just something to think about. Amazon Prime does help out at Walt Disney World. Let's see. Other things around Coronado Springs real quick. I love this resort. Pepper Market, good place to eat. One of the first things that we did, Pam, we got to do this together, was the new Soarin'. So do you want to jump in here and give your thoughts? I guess kind of spoiler. People probably know by now, but semi-spoiler.
I don't know. No.
Okay, you know.
I mean, I will just say, we'll kind of high level spoil this, not do a deep dive into spoilers. But
don't ruin it for me.
Okay, I'll try not to. Plug your ears, Ricky. But anyways, I really enjoyed it. First of all, I always love seeing something new at Disney, and I love how they can take an attraction and turn it into something new. And we all knew what was coming. This is going to be Soarin' around the world. That was no secret. And I think they really did a great job with it. They gave us a taste of so many other different locations. And I really appreciated that. And the other thing I truly appreciated, and this kind of made my heart happy because I was going to be so sad to see that music go, is they took the familiar score, the one that we all love from Soarin', and I think in so many ways plussed it, they made it new again, but it kept it really familiar, and I love it.
I really
love the way that they did that.
I really felt that, Pam. I didn't mean to interrupt, but when you're speaking about the music, there's a scene where you're coming up on the Taj Mahal and you're kind of going over the water there. That they take it and they kind of rearrange the familiar Soarin' theme. And that's really where it hit me. And also the Great Wall of China. But the attraction to me is better. And I know I loved it. People kind of man, I can't believe you're saying Soarin's better. It is. It gives you more of a taste. It makes me long to travel more than the original Soarin' even.
I agree. I think it does. And to new and in interesting places. I liked the transition between the scenes more. I felt like it kind of flowed better than the original one. Because when you think about it, think about the original one. It was like, there you were, you're over San Diego, or then you're in the mountains, and then you're, you know what I mean? There wasn't much of a transition. And I feel like they addressed that in a lot of ways with this one. I feel like there was more movement. We all knew that attraction was capable of that, and it was. It just is, it was really cool for me to see. And honestly, right now, I really like it more than the original one. So
me too. I'm right with you. Soarin' 2 is better than Soarin' 1. Not that Soarin' 1 was bad. Soarin' 1 was great. But
Soarin' 1 was one of my all-time favorites. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. But I feel like the beauty of an attraction like Soarin' is that not only do you make a connection in the fact that it's kind of thrilling, it's exciting, it's interesting, but I feel like there is a true emotional connection with this attraction. And it's just because it's a total package. Smell, movement, song, all of it. But truly, truly, this is one of my favorites. I just think it shows the beauty of Disney. So
totally does. And one other thing with that, I kind of want, we're a trip planning podcast. So we always want to try to give some tips and things to think about for your next vacation. Take them or leave them, but maybe it'll make your next vacation better. That's kind of one of the goals of the show. And one of the unexpected things that happened with this, because We were there on the first day, and we had fast passes, Pam, like at the last hour of the day. We went on like at 8 o'clock at night. So we didn't get in on the madness of rope drop. But when we saw the pictures of rope drop that morning, I mean, the line for Soarin' was all the way out of the pavilion. It was ridiculous. Like, it was outside of the land. That's how long the line was. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be a nightmare. But the thing is, we were there again for a few more days, went on a cruise, came back for like four more days. And the thing that I learned, that you really have to rethink what you normally think about fast passes for Epcot, because we saw lines at 10 o'clock in the morning to like noon, 2 in the afternoon. The wait times for the standby and Soarin' would be about 35 to 45 minutes, which was totally unexpected, especially after the beginning of that first day. I thought, oh my God, this is going to be like a 400-minute attraction wait all the time. But what happens is now they have 33% more capacity with that third theater. They're very efficient in loading. I noticed that because they wouldn't really leave an empty seat. They would always look for a party of two, party of three, and fill them in like a puzzle. They're really good at that. And it just seemed to really flow. I mean, the thing is, I don't... When you're looking at your fast pass, you got to be really strategic with Epcot because of the tiers. So my best advice right now, from personal experience being down there, is you definitely have to fast pass Frozen Ever After because it's low capacity, it's high demand, and everybody wants to do that, especially the kids, and the parents are going to do what their kids want. So you're going to have to fast pass Frozen. I would rope drop Test Track and then head over to Soarin'. So that would be my strategy right now currently for the big guys at Epcot. I would rope drop, go to Test Track, ride that, go over to Soarin'. You still probably won't have a terrible line. If not, wait a couple of hours, and I think Soarin' may be lower, maybe at around lunchtime, and then do Frozen Ever After. So I think you really got to kind of rethink fast passes because I think we're always like Soarin', 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 Test Track, Test Track, Test Track. But I think that's how I'm going to go. Pam, what's your feedback being there yourself too?
I absolutely feel the same way. And my other piece of advice to you to people in this space is still get there. Even if you can't get a fast pass for either one, get there at park opening. I saw the lines for both in the morning be not super low, but fairly low. And these are for headliner attractions. There are still tons of people who aren't getting there till 10:30, 11 or 12 o'clock. So think about that in that space. And then, the other thing is that you have to be aware that right now, Frozen Ever After is having some glitches, and it is a new attraction. Let them work out the glitches. Have patience. I saw so many people just behaving like fools, and there's really no other way to describe that. And that isn't my typical experience with Disney. And that I think it typically brings out the good in people. But every now and then, the frustration level just gets crazy pants. And you just want to say to people, you know, at the end of the day, it's just an attraction. You're going to be okay. So just, you know, have some patience. Have some patience with Disney. I think that they really would have liked to have had maybe a period of time where this was in soft opening. And instead, it wasn't at all. And I think what they wanted to do was avoid the disappointment that people had in counting on Rivers of Light. And the other they wanted to not like delay this any further. And the other thing I want to say is that, you know, so often Disney doesn't want to release an opening date for these very reasons that we encountered, that there are sometimes unavoidable delays. There are things that they didn't plan on. Things aren't working quite how they wanted to, et cetera, et cetera. And I think we just need to remember that when we're putting a lot of criticism on things like this that are new. So just, you know, I'm not trying to be preachy, just trying to be maybe, you know, find a way to be kinder in this space. So
speaking of that, I would doubt that Disney announces any opening dates moving forward. It'll be, you know, it'll be like the typical like summer 2016, you know,
and you know what? We as Disney fans may not deserve them either after what had happened. Just the outrage that people have over this, oh my gosh, it's not going to be there. And I counted on it, even though, you know, Disney really didn't release that Rivers of Light date until very close to the time when they decided it couldn't open up. Because they had said summer or spring, people are like, well, then it has to be by this date. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, and anyways, we will not see, my prediction, we will not see like Avatar will open on this date until they're real ready.
Yeah, like they'll say it opens on this date today because we're
right.
I mean, and that's fine.
Right, you know? That's all today.
That's fine. Oh, and I just noticed we are live on Facebook, Facebook Live here. Just facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Come over, like the page. You'll get notifications when we go live. We usually go about 6:30 Eastern. We went a little bit early this week, but Steve Hood's in the chat with us, our great friend, security officer down at Walt Disney World. And one thing I did want to mention is you do have to plan a little bit more time getting into the parks from now on. I mean, of course, we know the tragic events that happened down at Orlando a few weeks back, about a month ago now. And because of that, obviously, because of other events around the world, security is heightened. And I noticed that, you know, you're going through metal detectors a lot more. You're being, you know, the belongings are being searched a lot more. Be patient with the security guards. Be patient with the cast members and just get there a little bit earlier because, you know, you can't try to roll up at 8:58 and try to be, you know, the first in line at rope drop. It just doesn't work that way. And everybody's trying to keep everybody safe. So, Pam, did you, I mean, I noticed you just got to kind of plan an extra 15 minutes. I mean, you're on vacation. Get up 15 minutes earlier.
It's not really even that long. And I feel like the people who are the most impatient are the people who are rolling up at like 8:59.25 seconds. And they're like, I need to be there at 9. And like, you wanted to be like, yeah, well, if you needed to be, maybe you should have planned a little better. But whatevs. I mean, you know,
yeah,
everyone.
Half the world needs to be there, too, you know, and they're in front of you in line.
Yes, so. I did hear the famous Disney line that pulled out while we were there. It was actually in security line. Ready? Dude rolls up. It was really like that kind of situation. He's like, I paid a lot for this vacation. We're like, okay.
Hey, man, mine was free. Mine was all. That's cool.
Right? I thought it was going to be, don't you know who I am? I'm Mike Rollman. So, you know, I mean, I only
played that card at Epcot because I know Steve Hood's usually there. So.
Right, exactly.
That way he can bounce me when I go to Disney jail.
That's right.
Because you know I know Steve. Anyway, so I also want to thank everybody who came out to the Soarin event that morning. It was great seeing so many folks, great pictures, and just it's great sharing a breakfast with folks and getting to catch up. So, and the kids are awesome together. I just got to say that. The kids in our community are just great, man. They meet each other and they've been together forever. So I know this is going to turn into like 5 shows. So because we're already like a half hour and we haven't talked about like I'm still on day one. But it was just so fun. So we had a meal at San Angelian. Loved that. Good meal there. Got my haircut on Main Street, of course. Got to do that every trip. Pam said my haircut's not as good this year. She says I got an old man haircut and I can't do anything with it. So I don't know. It was an old man cutting my hair. What do you expect? I mean, it was Main Street USA. So that's just how it
Brian
is.
Brian always gets a good haircut. So
maybe I just wasn't clear on what I was looking for. My expectations. Maybe not.
Maybe.
So, Pam, one other thing I want to talk about, you know, we've talked about this with the press event, the night events at the rivers, Animal Kingdom Park. We got to go over there with some friends that same night that we did the Soarin' meetup in the morning. One thing I wanted to touch on, because we're talking about new experiences, was the Nomad Lounge. This is a cool place. I mean, so give your thoughts on that.
I agree. I really like it. I mean, in fact, you know, when we're going to be down there soon for Han's birthday, this is on Steve and my list of places to go. So, I loved it. You know, Tiffin's, we didn't get a chance to eat there, but Tiffin's is a beautiful restaurant, and I am going to make plans to eat there when we go down in a week or so, or a couple weeks, whenever. I don't even know. I can't keep my, I don't know where I am.
I don't have a schedule that I know.
Hopefully something will point me in the right direction when I have to get in the car and go somewhere. But anyways, we're going to try to make sure that we eat there then. But I will say the drinks available at the lounge, first of all, hello, they had, what was it, a Leapin' Lizard?
Yes, it is.
It's our own drink. The official drink of the BOG. That is correct.
Good. So anyways, that was, you know, awesome. But they had a lot of really interesting drinks. It was hard to pick one. That one looked particularly good. So I know a number of us got that. Steve got one that had some kind of like pepper around the rim or something. And he liked that as well too. But there were just, you know, lots of good things. It's just a really cool place to hang out. And I think that Animal Kingdom really needed that. First of all, it needed more table service. End of story. There was not even a question about that.
No. Second,
it needs more places, I think, to hang out. I think that there, for so many reasons, in every theme park, there is a need for a space like that, a comfortable spot where you can go and get a drink and hang out. And I think that this is going to be it there. You know, there's a lot of value in not running from attraction to attraction, or at least slowing down in between attractions. And I think this is a good space to do that.
Yeah, it's a really comfortable space. It's got those couches on the outside with the fans, kind of covered area there. Ricky, you were there too. I mean, what were your thoughts on Nomad?
You know, I didn't eat at Nomad because I was at Tiffin's, but I did walk through Nomad because it's all connected. And I thought it was beautiful. I loved the space. It felt very, kind of like you were saying, very comfortable, very much like a place like you could feel at home, just hanging out there, relaxing, enjoying a drink or two, maybe an appetizer or a small plate, and just really soaking up the atmosphere. And like kind of like Pam said, you know, I don't feel like there are a lot of places like that at Disney's Animal Kingdom. So the fact that they finally added something like this really is a nice touch. And I can't wait to go experience the lounge part. Although Tiffin's just added a great lunch offering that I may have to go try my next trip too. So, you know, I don't know. I really feel like that whole area is just a home run. I feel like, you know, Tiffin's is fantastic. And I feel like the Nomad Lounge was very much needed for the park. So I really do. I think it's win, 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 win.
Yeah,
so,
it is. I mean, because the thing is, we were there with obviously a big group of us. We had Dawn and Justin and Zoe were there and the girls were there. And the kids kind of went off to another table. Poor Hannah and Paige had to hang out with the kids. But and they took one for the team
like
for
it.
Us. I know they
maybe,
do. But I mean,
maybe someday they won't have to hang out with the kids anymore.
I know, no, that won't happen.
But
so.
They took one for us.
Yeah,
I had a nice ice water. They have great ice water. I didn't drink that night. I had an ice water. But it was, you know, the thing was, like, it's you're looking to catch up with friends because it's really unique in our community where a lot of us are great friends, but we only get to see each other in Florida. We're from all over this country, all over the world. That's the only time we see each other. And really, we got to sit around like in some couches with like a coffee table in the middle having drinks. I mean, it was almost like sitting in a living room. That's, Pam, when I look at the pictures, that's kind of what I think. It was like, oh, we're kind of hanging out at somebody's house, all getting to catch up finally. It was really neat.
Yeah,
that way.
It was neat. And it's just a really comfortable space, like I said. And I think that it will become, you know, fairly popular, but it has some great views and I think it's worth, you know, checking out for sure.
So I'm not going to dive into everything we did on this vacation. I just want to hit some of the new things because again, we are running short on time. We'll go back and talk about some of the stuff maybe next Friday. Another thing that I did for the very first time, and we get questions on this over and over again on the podcast, so I made sure that we did it, was Uber. And I did Uber thanks to my good friend Scott. We vacationed with him. He's in the chat. Scott, don't worry. Some things will never be mentioned on the podcast, all right? I won't talk about some of
the
stuff.
Text messages are not the same as the podcast.
Just so you know, he's probably sweating bullets. But so anyway, he had done Uber before. I'd never done Uber. And we were, well, another thing I want to talk about is Ample Hills over on the boardwalk, the new ice cream joint.
I can't.
Awesome.
Wait.
Oh, man. Yeah. So anyway, we went over there one day and we decided, you know, because we didn't rent a car this time because we were there and we were going on a cruise, going back. We didn't want to mess with like returning the car, getting another car and stuff like that. So we just relied on Disney transportation and it was fine. But we went, we walked out of Epcot one day, out of the International Gateway, over to the boardwalk. And had ice cream at Ample Hills. And then we got done. We're like, oh man, we got to get back to the hotel. So our choices were we could have just walked back through Epcot, you know, back all the way to Epcot, through the International Gateway, back to the front of the park, out to the buses, catch a bus, and then get back. That'd have taken at least an hour. I mean, that's conservative, probably an hour to get back to the hotel. He's like, you know what? We should just get Ubers. And so we did, and they're easy. Like, I was always nervous about it. I didn't know it was like, seriously, you set up an account on your phone. And you just open the app and it shows all these little, it's a map of the area that you're in. It shows where you are. It shows all the little cars that are close to you. You click on one button. It's like request a car. Somebody picks it within 30 seconds. Every time we did it three times within 30 seconds, somebody picked up, you know, the request that we had for a car. And the longest we waited for a car to get there was 4 minutes. It was unbelievable how convenient it is. And you're back to the hotel. And the best thing was, the most we paid in our three trips from like Boardwalk to Animal Kingdom. We went over to Coronado Springs one time and Coronado to Animal Kingdom. The highest our bill ever was $7.
Wow.
Can you believe? I mean, $7. That saved us. That one night, it saved us at least an hour for $7.
Oh,
I mean, what's your time?
That's
worth?
A good value.
That's
good,
a good value.
And
yes.
I mean, the cars were clean. The drivers were friendly. And, you know, Pam, Ricky, have you used Uber? Because I'm a huge fan of it now.
I haven't. It is. So when we go to Hawaii, it's one of the things that I will probably end up doing is using Ubers. So That'll probably be my first experience with it. So I'm anxious. I'm excited to hear about anybody's tips with Uber because I know nothing. So so this is very helpful to me.
My best advice on that is to get the app before you go on vacation. Because again, when you're on vacation, things just, you know, you're in the moment. You don't want to stop right. And download apps and insert credit card information because that's what you got to do. You got to download the app. You got to tie it to a credit card. But I think that's about it. I mean, it's all done electronically. The only thing we did was that we stopped and got cash so we could give a tip to the drivers. Now, I've talked to some people. Some people say you don't have to tip. It's built into the fare. But, I mean, when the fare was like $6 or $7, I felt guilty not giving a tip because, you know, I know that people make their money. I feel better, you know, paying somebody a gratuity for a service performed well. And so we would always give, you know, $3 to $5, which is basically like 100% tip. It's crazy, but
right,
you know,
yeah.
Pam, what do you, I mean, I know that, you know, it's a new way, you know. Of course you've always had cabs and, you know, your mileage will vary because these are individuals driving their own cars and you probably have, you know, some great experiences and some not so great experiences, but we were 3 for $3. And I mean, again, time is money. And man, we were back fast. And they drop you off right at the front of your resort. You don't have to walk from your bus stalls. You're not in a sweaty bus. I mean, I think it's something everybody should give a shot to at least once.
I think. I mean, for my family, it's not anything we'll probably ever need because we always rent a car. And Steve really enjoys being in charge of that part of our vacation experience because he just can't deal with like the waiting for other stuff. Even if it were just Uber, he just wouldn't be able to do that. But I think that for a lot of people, they love not having to drive around and they love using Disney transportation. And I think for those points in time when they're looking to do something quickly or they want to get, especially from resort to resort, I think that that's a part of, you know, the Disney transportation systems that is sometimes challenging for folks. That's an easy, easy thing to do.
It is. It's really interesting. I mean, how technology is changing things, because obviously this is very new and, you know, the regulations are kind of, they're being debated with, you know, Disney letting the Ubers into the resorts, which they are now. They just say, you know, they would just go through the guard checks there and say, we're dropping off some guests. No problem. They'd wave them right through. Scott makes a good point in the chat that, you know, they drop you off right at the door of your resort, where at Animal Kingdom Lodge, when you park your rental car, I mean, you're way out there. I mean, you're halfway across the Serengeti there to walk just to the main building. Then you got to walk to your room. So it saves you a ton of steps. But also, one other thing I want to say is, you know, like with a rental car, we considered it, but like you said, Pam, like for spot, just like you got to kind of make decisions. Like if you're at the Magic Kingdom, you can walk out, catch a bus, you're back to your resort. You don't need an Uber because you'd have to go over to the Contemporary. But like we were at Coronado Springs, we were all there with Dean and Becca and the gardeners there, and we all did tequila flights, you know, because it's a Mexican restaurant, so we had a good time that night. The safest way and the quickest way, because we'd had to go to Disney Springs, we'd had to go to a park. It was just way easier. We hit the Uber button, boom, and nobody was in danger. Everybody was safe, and it was a win-win for us. And like we said, I mean, you could get an Uber probably for 10 times or maybe even 15 times during your stay for the price of a rental car if you're okay with giving up the control of driving.
It's true.
Crazy.
You will never talk to Steve into this, but it is true.
I just thought it's something to consider because we never want you to get behind the wheel, but you know, you do have some fun on a vacation and this is a good way to keep everybody safe. You know, I hope people do that because, you know, I did lose a friend to a drunk driver. So be careful and, you know, take advantage of things like this because you really just can't beat it. One other thing I want to hit because I know we're getting long here and we're going to get back into it. We got so much other stuff. We'll save Star Wars because we have tips to make your Star Wars fireworks viewing awesome.
Sure.
And there's good things and bad things, but it is awesome if we'll help you get a good experience with that. But the one thing we talked about, Ample Hills, and I know this is a minor thing, and I was not excited about this.
Really?
I'm a Beaches and Cream guy, man, and I'm very much an establishment guy. Like, for example, here, and this will be for our St. Louis friends, we have a little Main Street area in Old Town St. Charles. This area has been there since Lewis and Clark. It's right on the Missouri River. And they have like antique shops and little, you know, it's like kind of like a little Main Street, really. And some restaurants and bars,
yeah,
and stuff in there. But they're really old buildings. And there's been this ice cream place there forever called Riverside Sweets. I mean, it's old school. It sells like hard candy and little knickknacks and like Christmas ornaments. I mean, it's like a little antique shop, but it has some ice cream in there. So I always go there. Well, this new place moved in down the way about, you know, eight stores down, a brand new, like at the slab, and they do the, you know, the ice cream and all that stuff. And I won't go there because they're trying to push this old, you know, the people that were there forever out of business. That bugs me to death. So anyway, you know, I was like, I'm a Beaches and Cream guy, man. That's my ice cream place on the boardwalk, you know, or the Boardwalk Beach Club area. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. But everybody else wanted to go there. So, you know, I'm going there. You know, it's no problem. We're getting ice cream. How bad can it be? Oh, man, that ice cream there. We have not stopped talking about it since we got back. It is so good. It is so rich. It is. And the thing is, this is for you, Ricky. They have an ooey gooey butter cake ice cream, which is a St. Louis thing. But it is, oh, it's like biting into heaven. Oh, you, and the everybody else had different flavors, and they all like theirs. But, oh, Ample Hills, you have, we went there 2 days in a row. We went there the first day. I'm like, I got to go back. It's like, I'm drawn. I, you know, I have to go. If I have to pay for an Uber, I'm paying for an Uber because I got to have more ice cream.
Going over there, man. It's worth it.
That's how it was. So we went there with Jay, Melissa, and Haley. So it was incredible. Actually, we did Cruise Cup followed by Ample Hills. Boy, talk about a twofer right there. That's a good combo. Yacht Club and then head over to Ample Hills. But, yeah, I went there. So if either of you been to Ample Hills, it's amazing.
On
so what did you think, Pam? What did you have?
Oh my gosh, I can't remember. And you know what? The thing that was funny is that they don't tell you how many scoops are in the things you are ordering.
No, it's like they call it a small and a large. I think they don't even talk about scoops.
Yes. I mean, it's just the whole thing. So that was, you know, interesting. But they had such great flavors. And I think that, you know, things that you could, that would really appeal to most people. I really love that about it. I think it's such a great space, and I think it's something definitely that the Boardwalk needed. I mean, they had an ice cream shop before that was small, right there next to Flying Fish, and it needed to be amped up a bit. You need like more. There are so many great ice cream places around the country. You needed more to do, you know, to go with that. So I was so glad to see that.
That ice cream is just—it had a unique flavor. I mean, it was the richest ice cream I'd ever had. I mean, just the vanilla ice cream. Oh, so good. So give it a shot. Right there on the board. And when we were on the boardwalk, you know, I was mentioning that, you know, it's always been kind of like a C-class destination to go. You know, like you have your, you know, your parks are kind of your A's, your resorts maybe your B's, and then maybe, you know, if you really get hurt and you're going over to the boardwalk or playing putt-putt or something, you know, you're looking for those things to do that aren't going to be things you mention. But the boardwalk, as I was sitting there, you know, you just think about the things we have on the boardwalk now. You have ESPN, a really awesome sports bar environment. You have the Boardwalk Bakery, really great suites. You have this ice cream place, which is probably the best on property. You have the Flying Fish being refurbed. That's going to be amazing when it comes out. It's going to be even better. El Trattoria El Forno, is that what it's called? The new Italian place. Whatever.
Yes.
You got Big Grill Brewing over there, so you can go up there and get, you know, some good like burgers and microbrews and stuff like that. Jelly rolls, and you have live entertainment. We saw a lot more live entertainment this trip than ever. You know, with a juggler, a guy standing on some chairs, kind of like Chinese acrobats used to do, but not quite as high. But I mean, Pam, I know you're a big fan of staying at the boardwalk, but the boardwalk is trending up. I mean, it's a destination for sure now.
Oh, and when they open Flying Fish back open, I was so sad. It's like I miss it whenever it's not there because we eat there like every time. So whenever they do that, that I'm going to be like parked there. Like maybe I'll start a little like I'm going to start a petition. Open Flying Fish now. I really need some tater wrap snapper. I don't know. But anyways,
I need Flying Fish right now. Yes, thank you.
And now I'm hungry for it.
Wait, remember how back when Star Tours 2 opened that Len had people positioned out there like on the, what was that called? They had like an app and a Twitter account and everything waiting for it to open.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
What was that called? Because we advertised that actually here on the podcast way back in the day. It sponsored the shows. It was like Star Wait or Star Tours Wait or something like that.
Something, I don't remember.
It had like a handle on it. We used it as ads. But anyway, that's what you need, Pam. You need to be like the Flying Fish Wait app or something. You know, be the first one in there to get some snapper.
If they release the date, I'm there.
We just talked about it. Disney's not doing that.
Hey, we talked about this. They may not. They may change the date.
Then
they may
have
announced that they'll change it on you. So
I'll be all those cranky pants people, too. I'll be like, do you know how much I paid for my vacation?
Right? I'm winging this fish. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, too funny.
And the chat is giving, you know, great feedback. You got the pizza window. Nikki from over in the UK is mentioning that, you know, it's a good value with your DVC points at the boardwalk right now. So that's good. And you have great bars and lounges around that area as well. You know, you got the Bellevue Lounge, you got the Cruise Cup. Got, you know, it's just, well, not on the boardwalk, but in the area. Because I don't know, but I think about the whole thing, like the whole circle. Like you're walking over to Beach Club, yeah. Yacht Club. You got the whole, you know, that's a really cool environment. And, you know, steps away from Epcot. I mean, what can you say? I mean, you got the world at your hands there. So pretty cool. You know, we're going to cut this short because we got the cruise. We got other stuff to talk about, but we got to have you coming back next Friday because we don't want to keep you here for a marathon. That's coming up on July 31st. See how we do that 12-hour live show to benefit Give Kids the World. Yeah, so put that on the calendar. July 31st, 10 to 10 Eastern. So make your adjustment wherever you are in the world, but we need you here for part of that show because we really do need you to donate to Give Kids the World. This is our big fundraiser for the year. We're going to make some real magic for those families that are hurting this year, and we're going to make those families have the best time of their lives. And they're just great people at Give Kids the World. They do great stuff with your donations, so please do join us July 31st, 10 to 10, 12-hour live show. It's a tradition here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Be a part of it this year. Today's episode is always brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. We talked about some new stuff to do down at Walt Disney World. Hey, if you want to do new stuff, you got to get down there. And right now, there's so many new things. We didn't even talk about Frozen Ever After. You got Soarin', you got night events at Animal Kingdom. You just have stuff everywhere. New restaurants at Disney Springs. You got to get down there because even if you were there a year ago, so much has changed. So check it out. My best advice, you know, there's good deals out there right now. You don't have to pay full price. Most times of the year, you're going to get a really good deal. So the best advice I have is to drop by themagicforless.com. Just kind of peruse around their website, see some of the specials, see what you get for booking with the Magic for Less. And you can even click on the right side, see all the agents and, you know, what they're specialists in and all that kind of stuff. But while you're there, fill out that free, no obligation quote. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. And an agent will get right back in touch with you. And, you know, you might be going on that Disney vacation sooner than you thought, which is always a good thing. I know folks in the chat are saying they're missing Disney and they're having their Disney blues. Well, hey, there's a cure for that. Book that next trip. And you can even book into 2017 right now, which is awesome, too. So check it out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprisedadvisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, and we love our sponsors. Give us a follow on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike, and we have our Facebook page. Lots of fun over there all the time. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, I think that's it. I think it's time for a fun weekend. Not as fun as last week here in the States. We had a 3-day weekend, I guess. Is it, Ricky, did everybody get a 3-day weekend? I don't know because I'm a teacher. Is that how it works? Everybody's off Monday.
Brian didn't because he had to go in on Saturday, but everybody else did, I think. So, or most people did. Not everybody. Most people got 3-day. Well, yeah.
It's back to the 2-day, but, you know, make the most of the 48 hours. And, yeah, when we get to the cruise, we'll have to talk about Justino. Only Scott and everybody will get this. But they had a magician on the cruise, you know, for that extra night on the four-nighter. And he kept talking about your dash in between the year you were born and the year you died. So we'll get into that, how deep thoughts with a Disney Cruise Line magician. And we've been talking about it ever since. So I don't know. It just popped into my head. So we'll talk about that in the future. So anyway, hope you enjoyed today's trip report. We just like, you know, sharing the fun of Disney with you, and hopefully it'll help you plan a better trip. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great weekend. Have a great one. Stay safe, whatever you do. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.